Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 11 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Happy Thanksgiving Day, everyone. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show on Thanksgiving Day, my 22nd consecutive live Thanksgiving Day show, celebrating also our 21st anniversary of our show this week and coinciding with Thanksgiving Day. And I want to talk about Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to talk a little bit about the origins. I've been doing this for a long time now, and I love this story. And I think you do too. And if you haven't heard it before, I think you will love it. Because as the 17th century dawned, cause and effect was merging two parallel universes. In the old world, laden separatists were making decisions that would put them on a circuitous journey. Meanwhile, in the new world, a man-child named Tisquantum was born to the Patuxet tribe, which is part of the Wampanoag Confederation of Tribes. Both the Separatists and Tisquantums on both sides of the ocean became very important to the future of mankind, but not before their lives would change and intertwine in ways not to be imagined by the inhabitants of either world. He was born in what is now Massachusetts, and his father named him Tisquantum. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what became known as New England. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth thought investors would like to see real, live Indians, so he had three of them lured into the ship. He took them back to England against their will. One of the kidnapped was Tisquantum. In England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with Sir Fernando George, a New World explorer and financier. George taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and interpreter of his sea captains. Tisquantum, whose name had now become Squanto, starting to see the picture here, you probably heard of that. Squanto was brought back to America in 1614 to assist in the mapping of the New England coast, but Squanto's greatest flaw was his inability to know which Englishman to trust, and it kept getting him into trouble. And incredibly, he was kidnapped again, along with a couple of dozen other Indians, and this time was taken to Spain, and he was sold. A group of friars discovered what was happening and took several of the Indians, including Squanto, from their captors in order to instruct them in Christianity, of course, right? Squanto lived with the friars until he became homesick and in 1618 boarded a ship bound for the New World, Newfoundland. In another twist of fate, while in Newfoundland, Squanto ran into an associate of his old friend, Sir Fernando George, who took Squanto willingly this time back across the water for the fifth trip across the water, across the Atlantic. And it was his second trip to England. Now trilingual, right? English, his native language, and Spanish, Squanto was a unique resource. And George once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was so familiar to him. Arriving back in his home range in 1619, think of that date, 1619, Squanto made the shocking discovery that during his last absence, the Wampanoag people had been decimated in 1617 by an epidemic which had wiped out every single member of his home village. His home village is very important in a little while. As Squanto was making his sixth trip and last one across the Atlantic, a group of colonists were making their first. These plans came to fruition when, on September 6, 1620, the 90-foot Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. Its manifest recorded the names of 110 passengers and crew, including 37 laden separatists, also known as the Pilgrims. Demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely and contentious gaggle. Though in the minority, the Pilgrims treated their fellow passengers with condescension and also called them the Others, while calling themselves the Saints. How about that? But there was one common thread that bound them together. Each one embarked on this courageous adventure to claim new prospects in the new world. Landfall came for the mate to the Mayflower colonists on the 66th day at sea, November 9th, when they came near shore at the tip of what is now Cape Cod. Their first encounter with the indigenous people almost cost them their lives because they stumbled onto an Indian burial ground and were chased back to the Mayflower by the graveyard's indignant caretakers. This first contact episode may have seemed like bad luck, but as they would learn, it was a blessing in disguise. Safely back on the Mayflower and sailing in toward the main coast, the colonists created a very important document. They called it the Mayflower Compact, and we now know it to be the first set of laws established for settlers in the New World. How about that? The Mayflower Compact, and they did that on the ship before they landed again. The next landing would be more peaceful. And on the day after Christmas, 1620, remember, Squanto had arrived back there the year before. On 1620, the day after Christmas, the colonists chose to establish their new life on the mainland shore of what is now Massachusetts, in a place they named Plymouth, because that was where they had come from, Plymouth, England. Well, the first winter was cruel. By March 1621, a year later, less than half of the Mayflower contingent remained alive. But with all of their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would later become very thankful. On March 16th, an Indian named Samoset walked into the colonist camp and greeted them with, "Hello, English." Samoset was a Mohegan sachem. That means he was a leader. From what is now the state of Maine. He was hunting and trading in the area, and even though he spoke some English, Samoset knew these sad-looking people he bumped into at this little village they called Plymouth would need more help than he could give them. So he remembered, he knew Squanto. So our trilingual world-traveling orphan, Squanto, was, it turns out, that the colonists had set up their settlement on the very spot where Squanto's village had been, where his family had been wiped out. Samoset brought Squanto to them, and during the rest of the year, he befriended them and taught them how to fish and grow crops, and the rest is history, right? Well, without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence, it's generally accepted that the pilgrims probably would have suffered more famine over the next year, likely resulting in the failure of the whole expedition. But thanks to the humanity of those two individuals, the first harvest was bountiful, and in October, they decided to set aside a day for thanks, to give thanks, and that was the first Thanksgiving Day in America. Here are the cause and effects questions. What if Samoset had not been kidnapped? What if he had not learned English? But more importantly, what if Samoset and had not had a good heart and had brought Squanto to befriend them? They couldn't have known what this relationship would mean, not only to those people that they helped, but to the rest of the following people in New America. And now we know 200 plus years later, actually 400 years later, it was good for the world. So I give thanks for Squanto, one person who chose to do good, one person who chose to do good and made a big difference. That could all of us, that could have been any of us. So today, my friends, on this Thanksgiving Day, choose to do good. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.